All right, make sure you're in fellowship as we are continuing here in Abram making the application of separation towards Lot. He, as we have addressed, uses tact. He, in so doing, is resolving a conflict that exists between them. And he also makes it clear that separation is a matter of choice in life. Lot is making his choices spiritually, Abram his, and that under the doctrine of separation, positive and negative volition go their separate ways. And Abram also applies grace while faith resting in regards to the application of separation. Faith resting that God will take care of Abram otherwise, in spite of maybe a loss of familial closeness. And grace in the fact that he gives Lot, if you will, first choice in regards to the real estate he would like to have for his own livelihood in this respect. So Abram lays it out for Lot. Lot, on his behalf, takes Abraham at his word, obviously recognizes that separation is going to be the application. And Lot then scopes out the land to see which parcel he'd like to claim for his own. That's verse 10. And Lot lifted up his eyes and saw the valley of the Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as you go to Zoar. So point 34, page 10 of our notes, where we left off. Lot, having eyes for his own prosperity, scopes the situation and sees that the valley of the Jordan was well watered everywhere. As the language, at least implicitly, brought out previously, one of the reasons Lot clung to Abraham, even through the Egyptian ordeal and returned back to Canaan, is because of the benefit that he saw in regards to his own livelihood being associated with Abram, whom God was blessing immensely. Lot was a believer, but he is a reversionistic believer, and he was a monetary reversionist. Money was his God, and his decisions were based on his prosperity, the advantage that he could gain in one way or another. And obviously it's paid off for him in association with Abraham, as he became wealthy in livestock himself. That shows that most often negative volition seeks to maintain company with positive volition because they have an ulterior agenda or motive. So all that was brought out previously. Now we see the evidence of that in regards to the decision and choice he makes, that there is really no grace in return to Abram, but his choice is based on a selfish agenda. So 35, now from a hill southeast of Bethel, a good view may be had of the southern end of the Jordan Valley and the northern end of the Dead Sea. Looking down into the valley, Bethel is located north of that, in the, if you will, Transjordan vicinity. And he could from a high plateau, scope out the topography, the environment around him in many directions, and one of the areas he could see was obviously, as he went out to make his choice, was the Jordan Valley, including all the way to the Dead Sea. And obviously that is the best looking piece of real estate around him. And as we know, the choice that he makes. 36, now Moses then provides a commentary, a parenthetical insert, if you will, on the area as it existed during the narrative. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. The area of the Dead Sea today is nothing what it used to look like. Pre-judgment by God on the cities surrounding the Dead Sea that will occur in the not too distant future in regards to the narrative. The destiny, ultimate destiny for this particular area, was to be transformed from a very rich and prosperous environment to desolation, something essentially worthless except for maybe the salt content and maybe benefits of liking to soak in salt water, etc., in that regards. So obviously the reader, Moses' time, would not know, unless they were informed, that the Dead Sea, the way it looked to them, was not the way it always had been. Just as a lot of the world is not what it used to be, and looking in the topography, etc. So 37, that event does not happen until later recorded in Genesis 19. Not until we get to Genesis 19 does the situation come about that God brings the fifth cycle of discipline even beyond the subjugation by outside rulers in a form of divine wrath upon the geography. Genesis 19:29 is where it's specifically recorded. Thus it came about when God destroyed the cities of the valley. That's the Jordan Valley, same valley. That's the context and view that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in which Lot lived. So 39, now contextually, 38. The phrase now, before the Lord destroyed, in the Hebrew is lamed panah, to the face of, to destroy, shakath, Yahweh. Could be translated in the presence of Yahweh, to destroy, for the purpose. The infinity shows purpose of being in the presence of Yahweh, this area. And it anticipates future destruction. It anticipates future destruction. It is there for the purpose of God expressing his divine wrath, which he in his omniscience, foreknowledge, knew would occur in regards to this particular region. So 39, contextually, the Hebrew implies that Yahweh's view of the region is not the same as Lot's. Lot's looking at it, oh man, this is prime real estate. This will provide great food for our livestock. My livestock, I can expand, I can prosper. There's some wealthy cities around here. Money is galore. This is the area I want. That's exactly the best that there is. That's Lot's view. God's view is, man, this place is going to get railroaded, cranked out, and destroyed. And I'm going to do it. See? So, as we have stated, often, so often, our thoughts are not God's thoughts. Our ways are not God's way. Apart from doctrine, we would not understand what God's thoughts and ways are, see. So, the language I thought was extremely pleasing to my sense of judgment in regard to the fact that Yahweh is looking at this a whole different way. But when people get under their SCAs with human viewpoint, they look at situations not in the light of doctrine, not in the light of the way God looks at it. They look at it in their own fleshly desires, with their own fleshly desires, in the way that they think will benefit themselves, see, in that respect. While presently he may be making a decision that to everybody around him says, oh, that's great. You're going to make lots of bucks now, man. Ultimately, it's going to cost him his livelihood. Ultimately, he's going to find himself almost in destitution and in the lowest of amoral standards that one can find themselves when God checks him out, sending him to death. So, that's why it always pays to pray for God to open and close doors, to evaluate the situation and ensure that it's not compromising God's will otherwise in respect to decisions we make, life decisions. Obviously, Abraham, he's faith resident. And he knows he's in God's geographical will in Canaan, and that's where he's supposed to be in, and making a difference where he's at in Canaan. See? And even though there may have been recently a famine, and no telling the residue that's still there in regards to that, and the terrain around him may not be as lush and green as the east is to, you know, like the west in our country. Still, he faith rests and he recognizes God will take care of him. And be in God's geographical and operational will in this respect. So 40, now whether Lot could visually see the cities, all the cities surrounding him, from his perspective, is not made clear. Only that the terrain was much different than during the penning of Genesis. I'll bring that out. Some commentaries try to say, well, you know, he couldn't really see all these cities, etc. And they try to downplay, diminutize the accuracy of the narrative from his location. But it's not saying that he saw the cities. All he's saying is he's looking down in the Jordan Valley and he sees how rich it is. And whether he could see some of the cities from there or not is obviously speculation. If you can see down to the north end of the Dead Sea, you could probably see a couple of them. Probably not Sodom and Gomorrah, as they were on the southern end. But either way. So, just pointing out again that it's not saying he could see the cities, only that the terrain was promised affluent prosperity for widening his portfolio in ranching. 41, before then, the area here is described, quote, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt as you go to Zoar, end quote. So, completely different terrain than exists at Moses' penning, writing, as well as today. 42, the garden of the Lord, our word garden gone, Yahweh, is an allusion to the Garden of Eden. Obviously, it's not the Garden of Eden, but the beauty is not to be dismissed. Almost park-like in regards to the habitation, etc. vacation. It'd be a great spot for to own condos for vacation, if you will. Make a lot of money because of the beauty of the environment. Genesis 2, 8 through 14. In regards to Garden Eden, remember back then, God planted a garden toward the east in Eden where he placed the man whom he had formed, manufactured. And out of the ground the Lord God caused to grow every tree that is pleasing to the sight, good for food, the tree of life, also in the midst of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So, obviously, this area had plethora of flora, richness of soil, the kind of grasses you'd look for, etc. Now, a river flowed out of Eden to water the garden. In this area, you had the Jordan going through and going into the now Salt Sea, or Dead Sea. For there, it divided, became four rivers, etc. Also, Isaiah 51:3. Indeed, the Lord will comfort Zion, Israel. He will comfort all her waste places. In her wilderness, he will make like Eden. He's going to, at the millennium, transform once again the environment on this planet and over in Israel. And it's going to be lush in regards to the habitat. In her desert, like the garden of the Lord. So you see Eden in the garden of the Lord, placed hand to hand there. Somebody looks at that and anybody that's oriented and recognizes that God exists, sees the genius and the creativeness of God in the very beauty of what exists. It takes your breath away. So, obviously, the pull, the attraction, is bona fide in regards to how it may appear. The only trouble is the people that live there. Forty-three. Now the land of Egypt, Eretz Mitzarim, throughout Genesis, is a place where the patriarchs went in times of famine, just as Abram did earlier. Here, 44, the lush Nile Delta is in view. Green, as it usually is around rivers, etc. Things are watered well. And again, you have the kind of habitat, land that is plentiful, wildlife and things of this nature. 45, Zoar is probably located southeast of the Dead Sea. Head in that direction on your way to Egypt. 46, and there's a similarity between the geographies. 46, it is the city to which Lot escaped from Sodom as he is delivered with his wife and two daughters initially. And Zoar is where he went to, Genesis 19, again, that chapter, verses 20 through 23. And now behold, this town is near enough to flee to, and it is small. Please let me escape there, as he speaks to the angels. To allow him protection, that my life may be saved. And he said to him, behold, I grant you this request also, not to overthrow the town of which you have spoken. Hurry, escape there, for I cannot do anything until you arrive there. God's going to assure, according to his promise, that Lot, a believer, is going to escape this catastrophe that's going to come upon the rest of the societies around him. Therefore, the name of the town was called Zoar, which means small. So it arrives at its name, whatever it was called beforehand, a new name, Zoar, because of the incident with respect to Lot escaping from there in this particular vicinity, as we will see when we get to chapter 14. There was five primary cities that are inhabited this Jordanian valley: Sodom, Gomorrah, Admah, Zeboim, and then Zoar, before his name Zoar, was called Bela. And what a lot of people don't maybe know is that of those five cities, actually four of them were destroyed, along with Sodom and Gomorrah. Zoim and Admah were also destroyed. Zoar, Bela, was the only one spared. And some interesting things there. All the kings are named for each of the towns except for Bela. So God saves him the historical embarrassment of association in name. I like that kind of stuff. But anyway, so it's the city that Lot escaped from Sodom. So on. 47, Ptolemy, one of the four generals from Alexander the Great, claimed that Zoar was famous for balsam and date palms. Balsam and date palms. 48, powerful springs in the Jordan Valley and beside the Dead Sea create very fertile areas. Not only was there a freshwater sea, inland sea, we might refer to it as a large lake around here, but also many wells, springs, natural springs, such as Jericho, Ion Fesca, and Engedi. 49, this lush southern region caught Lot's eye, and he chose accordingly. That's where I'm headed. 50, things are not necessarily as good as they look, and may in fact have a dismal future. Again, why it's important to place God first, doctrine first, and don't just go and run with the cosmos and their perceptions in regards to things. Confer verse 13 to show the character of the people that lived there. While the train was pretty, the environment is pleasant. All the people like to move to Florida, especially when they get old. Watch them walk on the beach, the Walking Dead. Here you have the people in Sodom area. Now the men of Sodom were wicked exceedingly, and sinners against the Lord. And this would be information that Abram and Lot would be privy to in regards to their characters of society. 1 Samuel 16, 7. Example. In regards to Samuel the prophet, Saul and reversionism, get under the STA, dangerous individual. Anyway, we can't look at things the way people look at it. But the Lord said to Samuel, verse 7, do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, because I have rejected him, Saul. This is not someone that God is behind. Now, if God was behind him, you sure wouldn't want to jack with him. But God has rejected Saul because he went on negative volition. Now, he's an example of a believer that was positive at one time, then he went on negative volition. And he didn't recover. For God, continue in verse 7, sees not as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. So, Lot picks the physical terrain because of his beauty and lustiness and potential prosperity that he sees ka-ching in his eyes. But the people that he would have to associate with, be around and embrace in order to do it, obviously what was in their heart was despicable. As we know, they were a very large population of homosexuals that lived in these particular cities. And why you would have five cities and room for livestock, because homosexuals tend to be urbanites. You don't find a lot of them on Brokeback Mountain, actually. I'm not saying they're not there, but the same. So it fits their nature. All right. That's a good one to end a verse with, isn't it? Verses 11 through 13. So Lot chooses. Lot makes his choice. He peruses the situation, and on the surface, it looks like the best economical choice you can make. But it is not, ultimately. Always just looking for and preparing for the immediate rather than for the future. That's one thing the doctrine does, is to put your eyes on the far future or eternal life. And that's what we are preparing for. What comes along the way in terms of blessing is obviously gravy on the bread. All right, looking here, verses 11 through 13. So Lot chose for himself all the valley of the Jordan. While consecutive, the verb to choose here, Cal and perfect third masculine singular, Bachar, B-A-C-H-A-R. And he chose for himself, denoting the self-centered decisions he makes. For himself, you have the preposition with the third masculine singular suffix, lamed, proper noun, Lot, transliterated. Sign of a direct object to know what he chose. All the valley of the Jordan. You have the common masculine singular noun construct, coal, K-O-L, followed with our word translated valley, common feminine singular construct, kikar, K-I-K-K-A-R, literally means oval or round disc. Jordan with the definite article, transliterated Yarden, Y-A-R-E-D-O-N. And Lot journeyed eastward. So he goes his separate way. While consecutive, our verb journeyed here, Calum, perfect third masculine singular, Nasa, N-A-S-A. Lot, eastward is the preposition men, followed with our common masculine singular absolute, Kedem, Q-E-D-E-M. Looking from the perspective of the direction he's heading. That's the way the Hebrew thinks. from the east. But he's actually going east. Thus they separated from each other. Finally. While consecutive, the Niphal imperfect third masculine plural, denoting the need of outside agent to make the application of separation, parad, P-A, as that's passive, Niphal, P-A-R-A-D. Thus they were divided, separated from each other. It is literally the common masculine singular absolute noun, ish, man, I-S-H, followed with the preposition men, preposition all, AL. And then the comma masculine singular construct with the third masculine singular suffix or word brother, ach, A-C-H, a man from against his brother, literal Hebrew. They're not leaning on each other anymore, kind of the idea. Verse 12, Abram settled in the land of Canaan. So Lot made his decision. He went basically to the outskirts of Canaan, on the border, if not beyond. Abram, obviously, is where he's supposed to be, and he settles down. Abram, transliterated, settled is our cal perfect third masculine singular verb, yashav, Y-A-S-H-A-B, yashav. Sat, remained, dwelt in the land of Canaan, preposition bait, or noun for land, common feminine singular construct, typical Eretz, E-R-E-T-S. Canaan, transliterated, Canaan, while Lot settled in the cities of the valley. While he needs the pasture land, his residence establishes in an urban setting. Interesting. While conjunction, proper noun, Lot, settled, or again our verb, yashav, kalp, perfect third masculine singular, in, preposition, bait, and then our noun for cities, here in the plural, common feminine plural, construct, ear, I-Y-R. Say, how can he settle in more in one city? He opened up business everywhere. He didn't have just business in one spot. The valley, definite article, or noun for valley again, kakar, common feminine singular absolute, and moved his tents as far as Sodom. So he goes to the northern end and around towards the southern end of the inward sea. While consecutive, cal imperfect third masculine singular, moved his tense is ahal, A-H-A-L, and pitched tent. As far as is a preposition ad, A-D, Sodom, Saddam. Genesis 13. Now the men of Sodom were wicked exceedingly and sinners against the Lord. While conjunction, men, or common masculine plural construct noun, ish, I-S-H, Sodom, were wicked exceedingly. Not just your run-of-the-mill wickedness. Exceedingly. You had the adjective. Here, obviously, a predicate adjective, hence were. Masculine plural absolute, raw, R-A. For evil or wicked men. And, while conjunction, sinners. Is the adjective, masculine plural absolute, Chata, C-H-A-T-T-A. It literally means missed the way. Sin, hamartia in the Greek, means missed the mark. So you see the similarity there. Here, towards Yahweh, preposition lamed, the proper noun Yahweh, against the Lord, literally. Then our word exceedingly is at the end of the word, the sentence in the Hebrew for emphasis is the adverb meod, M-E-O-D, exceedingly, very much. So when one sins, no matter who it may be directed towards, otherwise, here against the Lord, looks at in flat denial or rebellion, open rebellion almost, in regards to God in that respect. All right, well, this would be a good place to pick up Tuesday. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God the Holy Spirit continue to lighten us to these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Be sensitive to the prep school. I'm letting you out early again.